The Indianapolis Colts defense might be a little less maniacal the rest of this season, but they're going to be just fine. We'll tell you why and much more on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is Jake Arthur alongside the lovely Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com. Today we're going to talk all about Shaquille Leonard, the maniac, reportedly having season-ending surgery to repair his back once again. But why the performance of guys like Bobby Okereke, Zaire Franklin, and EJ Speed will keep the defense running just fine. Plus, after grinding the tape from Jeff Saturday's first W, Zach is going to tell us what stuck out on film on both sides of the football. So first and most importantly, it's been a real rocky season for Shaquille Leonard. He's only appeared in a few games for the Colts and was on a pitch count for the first few, really. Left his first game with a concussion. It's been tough. He had the back surgery in June, which kept him out until week four, I think, of the regular season for him to regain his strength and everything and his feeling. There's nerve issues when you have surgery and things like that, especially with the back. So how he's spoken with some of the guys in the locker room and everything, he just hasn't really felt himself totally. And then I think it was last week he re-aggravated the injury during practice, came off the practice field and said he felt different. Just didn't really have total strength in his leg or anything like that, I think he said. So he got a second opinion, went out to California, met with some surgeons, got new information out there. And Ian Rappaport, I think it was today, reported that Leonard did have surgery, which is going to knock him out for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it sucks, man. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to paint this as like, oh, he gave up on the, you know, it's a lot of fans. Typically, it's not really many writers or people who cover the team that are saying like, he got that big contract and he cashed it in, something like that. And now he has no interest in playing. I've seen a lot of that in our comments on here, even a couple people saying that. That's absolutely absurd. You know, this is a guy who has given his heart and soul to the team for years, a guy who has played through injuries the last couple seasons, and he finally decided to get it taken care of this year. And it's just, it's one of those injuries, man, that it's so, so hard to overcome. There is this guy who follows us and who is a doctor in Indy who said that he would happily come on a show or do something like that in the future. So maybe we'll have him on here one of these times. He's actually worked a lot of that stuff. But nerve injuries are so hard to overcome. You know, we're talking about a nerve injury in his back that affected him all the way down to his ankle and his feet and stuff like that. I think he said something about being numb and not being able to move at times. Like, this is a very, very, very serious injury. So I'm glad that he was able to kind of that step back and say, look, I know I had this work done in the offseason. I want to be out there with my guys, but I just don't feel like me. And if I'm not being 100%, then I don't want to be here and something like that. Like, really wants to take care of himself and be right for his team, not just for him. You know, he wants to be the best Shaquille Leonard that he can be and go out there and perform with his guys. So props to him for taking that step back and saying, you know, like, I need to shut this down and I need to get perfectly right. Because a lot of players wouldn't do that. They would stick with their pride and say, like, I need to play through this. But luckily the Colts are in a pretty good spot with their linebacker group to where, you know, it does miss having that playmaking ability, that million turnovers a game, it feels like. Or every time there's a turnover-worthy play, it's going to go right in his hands somehow. It does kind of hurt having that. But, again, what really matters is getting your body right and you know, being your best self. So many players in this league throughout the history of football have put their bodies at risk and even more at risk because they play through injuries or because coaching staffs, you know, tell players to play through injuries. So this is a good thing that he is taking that step back and trying to get his body right, because I'd rather have Shaquille Leonard for the next 10 years than him for one more year and then his whole body breaks down.
Yeah, I can't lend too much time to the people who say, you know, he was better when he was Darius, or like,
oh,
Shaquille Leonard is a quitter, like things like I've been around him in the locker room since 2018, since he got in the league. No one is more enthusiastic about playing football than he is. Like, I don't know right. that I've met anyone more jubilant and outwardly loving of the sport and literally being a maniac on the field than him. So those things, I mean, I know it's frustrating for him not to be on the field, but like, don't be that guy. It's just, it's right. not true. But luckily something for the Colts that is working out in their favor is in this new defensive system under Gus Bradley, linebacker duties are a great deal different than they were previously under Matt Eberflus. Colts have got some good ones. It was a rocky start to the season, pretty shaky for some of these guys, not being in the right spots, not being at the right depths at certain times. But Bobby Okereke is playing out of his mind. Zaire Franklin, I thought, has been really good. He's playing the best football of his career. EJ Speed has been a really good run defender. I know you've mentioned that as well. You do the film breakdown of these guys every week. I mean, what's something that maybe the casual eye doesn't see that these guys are really doing well?
Yeah, it's really a lot of the route recognition at the second level. Now, we're talking about a Colts team where, yes, they've played against a lot of bad passing offenses. You know, the Titans, the Broncos, the Raiders this past week. You know, passing offenses that aren't like top five or top 10 in the league. So we will see them kind of tested down the stretch against teams like the Eagles and the Kings, the Chargers, when Justin Herbert comes to town. But what I can say, when you're looking at this defense, these linebackers are playing really well. They're recognizing routes. They're roboting to spots they need to. They're getting the correct depth. And it all kind of changed there in that week three game against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, and like I just said, they have kind of been racking up good games against bad offenses, but that was a great offense that they locked up that entire game. So we are seeing really good play from this Colts defense, and a lot of it starts and ends at that linebacker position. Bobby Okereke looks like a Pro Bowl caliber player in this defense. He's moving so well. He's covering so well. And then, you know, he's had some plays that he's lost, but for the most part, he's been a really, really good linebacker. And he's been tasked with some of the hardest coverage assignments that a linebacker can be given. This scheme is not really forgiven on linebackers, and he's been playing really well. Zaire Franklin, you know, ups and downs for sure, but he just plays with his hair on fire. He comes downhill on everything. He's looking to kill players every single time he's out there. Obviously, he hits people safely, but it's with some pop. So Zaire Franklin, obviously having a career year. And then EJ Speed's, you know, I'd argue one of the best run-defending linebackers in all of football. You know, and that's not from a biased point of view. I think you can ask anyone who really evaluates the game. You know, if you're just looking at Sam linebackers and linebackers that are defending the run, he's up there with all the best in football. So, yeah, the Colts are in a good spot with their linebacker group, even without Shaquille Leonard. And honestly, we talked about this the other day in our postgame, Joe. It's not a good thing that Shaquille Leonard's out for the year, but it kind of helps the chemistry keep building, because you have the players that have been doing this all offseason and all season maintaining, you know, that play. They're going to keep playing together, where Shaquille Leonard, every time he was out there, the communication just looked a little off and it looked a little clunky, because it was a guy who was being inserted there without having that comfortable, you know, feel for this scheme. So in a way, this is a good thing, without me saying, you know, this is a great thing that Shaquille Leonard's out, but in a way, this kind of helps these other three guys who are all playing really good football right now.
Yeah, it does. It's a little disruptive to try and fit a guy into the defense, and like, I think they were doing it correctly with the snap count and everything like that, so he's not overwhelmingly playing over someone else, but like, eating into Okereke snaps and stuff, that's just a real bummer, because Okereke's been playing at a high level. So just a bittersweet thing. Long story short, hopefully this all gets cleared up and he can have a healthy offseason, hit the ground running in the spring and look like himself. Because I mean, at the end of the day, like, you want him to be healthy, number one. And if he's going to play football, be pain-free and things like that. Cause
right.
I mean, he hopefully can have a long, productive playing career for the Colts, but playing through serious stuff like this, back, neck, everything, stuff involving nerves, that's a quick way to get yourself out of the NFL. So you definitely don't want to see that. like you had said, kudos to him for kind of stepping aside and saying this needs to get fixed permanently. So,
right, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And before we move on and kind of grind the film, as we say, and look at the offensive side of the ball under Jeff Saturday's new group and Parks Frazier, we're going to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace, and with them, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. I kind of like to think of it as Airbnb for cars, which is a really cool idea, honestly. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and they're even coming soon to Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a nice classic luxury car for a special event like a birthday or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. You can even test drive that new electric vehicle that you've had your eye on to see how it fits into your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. All right, Zach. So looking at the Colts' win over the Raiders, 25-20, they look pretty good. The offense, everything always comes back around to the offensive line and how they perform, because without their positive performance, the unit as a whole just usually sucks if the line is not doing well. And it was one of the line's better performances, taking advantage of kind of a weak Raiders defensive line. They hadn't had a sack in, like, I think it was 17 quarters up until Max Crosby got one. So not a great unit. It was a good get-right game, I guess, for the Colts offensive line. We'll get to it in a minute, but Will Fries being kind of permanently inserted at right guard is definitely helpful. But looking at things schematically under Parks Frazier, it didn't look totally different offensively as far as concepts go. But I thought, especially given a short week, you know, you don't have a whole lot of game planning you can do because Parks Frazier was the new play caller. I thought they kind of leaned into the things they did well, which of course is running the ball when you can get it established, which they were able to do. They did a lot of the shorter middle of the field stuff, gave guys opportunities to pick up yards after the catch. What did you think about the game that Frazier put together?
Well, before I talk about Parks Frazier, I got to say this is easily the worst defense this team is going to face this year. This was just an abysmal defense. I'm so shocked because I think Patrick Graham, I believe his name, is their defensive coordinator, and he had a lot of success with the Giants before going to the Raiders. But I'm watching this game and, like, the Colts really only called a couple route combinations. It was very, very, very similar to Tom Moore with Peyton Manning, except obviously you didn't have all the talent that Tom Moore had with Peyton Manning. You didn't have Peyton Manning at quarterback. But when I say that, I mean, like, it was really just a couple of play calls. It was not very different. Like, every play kind of looked the same and every play was pretty similar. But it was just kind of a couple adjustments here and there and just kind of doing the simplistic things and making your offense as simple as possible and then building off of that and finding success that way. And I think Parks Frazier did a good job of that, and he did a good job of using those couple play calls. I mean, again, these were very, very simple play calls to a lot of success because this Raiders defense is so, so bad. Like, they're so bad. They cannot rush the passer. They can't cover. I mean, game, it was spacing routes, it was sticks routes, it was just, like, you know, all slants across the board. It was a couple of mesh things, you know, a little bit of levels that were like 8 yards down the field at best. Like, I mean, these are plays where if you're a defense, if they keep hitting you with sticks and spacing, you got to get in press man, you got to get in their face, and you got to hope that, you know, they can't beat you over the top, because again, the Colts have not beat anyone over the top this year outside of a couple of Alec Pierce throws. The Colts have not had any deep element to their game whatsoever. So for the Raiders to continually sit back and just let Matt Ryan feast underneath and let Parks Frazier call these, again, sticks, spacings, levels, concepts to just attack that underneath middle of the field, it was horrible defense. But I don't want to take away from Parks Frazier because, again, he recognized that this defense was vulnerable in these areas. He recognized that the Raiders were rolling out, you know, undrafted free agent linebackers, guys who would typically be on a practice squad on other teams across the league. Like, these are not top linebackers. So he kept attacking that middle of the field with those couple route combinations, kept attacking that inside off coverage that the Raiders were calling. And it worked to, you know, keep the Colts ahead of the sticks, and it kept the Colts moving down the field. And So yeah, I want to say that a lot of this was the Raiders are just terrible, but Parks Frazier knew what to call to attack how terrible that Raiders defense is. So I don't want to take away anything from Parks Frazier. I think he did a good job of keeping things simple and calling a game plan that attacked the defense's weaknesses. The only issue I have is if we're thinking this is going to keep translating because of the success in this game, I think it's a little bit outlier-ish because this was an awful, awful defense. And I don't know if they're going to see this again going forward. The true test comes this week against the Eagles coming up. I was impressed that Parks Frazier did a great job attacking this defense, but we're not going to see many defenses this bad going forward.
Yeah, and of course, remember the Eagles staff, Jonathan Gannon, defensive coordinator, he was the secondary coach with the Colts for a bit. That's Nick Sirianni's defensive coordinator now. So very familiar with the Frank Reich offense that Parks Frazier still runs. So Parks is probably going to have to get a little creative. You know, these teams know each other's schemes a bit. So it'll be a good coaching matchup regardless. Now looking at Matt Ryan inserted back into the starting lineup, other than his just gallop for the gold, what did you think of the game that he put together?
It was the game you expected from a veteran quarterback with time to throw and very simple reads. I mean, again, it was just sticks, spacing concepts where he just had to read the leverage of corners. He had to identify pre-snap where he wanted to go, read the leverage of the corner, read the leverage of the linebacker, and then attack that area. He did it really well. He was very savvy in this one. And he was barely touched, which was the best thing about this whole game. He got sacked once. I think he was hit once in the backfield in general. I think it was only like a handful of hurries allowed in this game. Like he was clean. The game plan kept clean, all the quick throws. And also he kept himself clean by getting that ball out of his hand. So, yeah, I think it was a good game for Matt Ryan. Nothing spectacular. You know, a couple of moments where he'd probably like to have back, especially on those 2-point conversion tries that were a little bit messy there. But outside of that, yeah, I thought it was a good game for Matt Ryan. It was something that you would expect during quarterback against a defense that's going to keep giving you the same thing over and over again. So, yeah, Matt Ryan came out after 2 weeks out and looked pretty good.
Yeah, and of course, the last time he was in there, just getting pummeled by the defensive front constantly over and over. So he probably was praying to God that the line would perform well, which they generally did. Bernard Raimann at left tackle, Will Fries at right guard. Tell me about the performance of the line. I know you just put something out about Will Fries literally right before we started recording.
Yeah.
Is this the correct starting five moving forward through the season?
Yeah, I think it is, even for better or worse. Again, I think I said this after the post-game show, like even if they come out this next week against the Eagles and they just look terrible, this is the most beneficial group of guys that you can start all year because it's your youngest lineup. You know, Will Fries is a young player. It's his second year in the NFL. Bernard Raimann is a rookie. You know, I know he's like a 25-year-old rookie, but he's a rookie. You know, you want to get these guys playing time because you have them on cheap deals and you have these higher-paid offensive linemen around them that you're already paying. So you want to keep these young cheap deal linemen playing out there and building that chemistry. And who knows if they both keep playing as well as they did this past weekend, that's great going forward because then you have two cheap starters with your three highly paid offensive linemen. If they aren't great, if they aren't the answer, then you can address that in the offseason. But I think for the rest of the year, it's best to keep these guys out there, keep them building that chemistry with Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, and Brayden Smith, because what we saw this past weekend is they all played really well together. You know, Will Fries and Brayden Smith looked really comfortable passing off stunts, performing on duo runs on the inside and getting that vertical displacement. And then on the left side, you know, Bernard Raimann was really helped out by the elite play of Quentin Nelson, which was awesome to say for the first time this year. Because, you know, again, I said it a couple times on here, Quentin Nelson's been playing at like a Pro Bowl level there, but you're paying him to be playing at a Hall of Fame level. You know, he's getting paid Hall of Fame level money. And he looked like that on Sunday. You know, he looked like Quentin Nelson. I don't know what changed. I don't know if Jeff Saturday just really got into his head all week or something like that. But Quentin Nelson looked like Quentin Nelson, and the rest of the offensive line played really well. So hopefully that can carry forward against a really good defensive line that the Philadelphia Eagles had this next week. But, yeah, I was really impressed by Raimann and Fries, but also, you know, the three veterans and Ryan Kelly, Brayden Smith, and Quentin Nelson. I thought they all played really well.
And that, of course, helped catapult Jonathan Taylor to his first big game, really, since week one. Had about 150 yards rushing and his first touchdown since week one. Again, I tweeted this during the game, but, like, it seems crazy that it took until week 10 to get him his second touchdown. Or, yeah, week 10 to get him his second touchdown of the year. He had 9 at that point last year. So
yeah,
really kind of nuts, but hopefully the line keeps it up a little bit. This was a get right game for everybody, hopefully. But then, you know, before we move on to the defense real quick, what'd you think of the pass catchers and the tight ends? It wasn't a real gaudy game for this group, but Paris Campbell did have a pretty nice performance, as did Kylan Granson.
Yeah, Campbell and Granson were the stars. Pittman Jr. had a pretty good game outside of that fumble that almost cost them the game. Yeah. Alec Pierce had, you know, the one kind of drop. You know, it's kind of a great play by Rocky Sin on the other side. And then he didn't make that deep ball catch down the sideline. But, yeah, I think it was a fine game from the pass catchers. Nothing special. You know, it's a game that you can win with. And that's what they did. So they won with this group, and I thought they all played pretty well. But, yeah, guys, coming up next, we are going to talk about this Colts defense and how they performed against the Las Vegas Raiders. But first, you know, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Simple tools, screening questions, make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. BetOnline is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those on BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, getting to this defense, Jake. You know, I think I have to talk about it, man. Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner are pretty good. I don't know. I feel been one of the hidden secrets. Yeah, it's been a very hidden secret across the league. But those two are pretty darn good, man. I don't know if it's something that I've just seen as I watched all the film, but those are some good players.
You found a way to talk about Rocky Sin and now Grover Stewart within the last few minutes. I'm very shocked. But no, it was, again, right away, it was another instance where, like, dang, like, Grover Stewart is just an absolute monster. So and good. He lives in the backfield. He took advantage of a pretty bad offensive line, so that was great. DeForest Buckner, again, these two just play at such a high level when they're both on their game, and they both are right now, and it's showing on both of them.
Yeah, they're so fun to watch on film, you know, and they make up for, you know, some other weaknesses that I think the Colts defense might have. But those two, having the linebackers playing well and having the corners play at a really high level, is really propelling this defense to being, you know, one of those top defenses statistically in the season. So, yeah, I'm really, really impressed with how this defense is playing under Gus Bradley. And, you know, again, outside of a couple of big plays that they allowed to a superstar receiver in Devontae Adams, this defense really held its own against an offense that hasn't been playing super well, but it is a good offense.
Oh yeah. We've seen this offense just last year. You know, they came out and they beat the Colts at the end of the game. You know, Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow put something together and killed the Colts right there at the end. And I mean, Carr didn't have Renfrow in this one, but he had Devontae freaking Adams. Like that's perfectly fine. And we said this on game day, you know, if the Raiders come out and Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs have good games, you can live with that because you expect it. And they did, but the Colts didn't let Mac Hollins kill them. And Fabian Moreau had an okay game, but he didn't come out and be the big difference maker. So they held their own. They were fine. One area to address, though, is Kwity Paye re-aggravated his ankle injury. And this one, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's a fast healer, but this one kind of seems like maybe they need to set him a week or two just to get it totally right. Because he missed a couple games. It happened at the end of the Broncos game, and then he just came back last week, I think. He came back against the Patriots, right?
Yeah, he looked great against the Patriots. Looked fast and aggressive. And then he came out and won, and I think he played like 18 snaps, but it did not look like Kwity Paye. Like, that ankle was not right. And then he left halfway through the game with that ankle injury.
He re-aggravated it in practice, right?
Yeah, and then he was active for the game and played like 18 snaps, and then at halftime, I think they were like, no, we're going to pull him from this game. So yeah, he did not look like himself. So I make sense why they pulled him from the game.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then, so, of course, Tyquan Lewis had been filling in for Quiddy. While Quiddy was out, Lewis injured his other patella injury, out for the year. So today, Tuesday, defensive coordinator Gus Bradley spoke with the media and basically said, you know, they're going to start morphing Dayo Odenigbo into that role. We've also seen a lot of Ifeadi Odenigbo. So I would expect to continue seeing plenty of those two guys. They've been productive. They've been getting better. Odenigbo is just like kind of a cheap veteran minimum type of deal, but I feel like they've gotten all their money's worth out of that one. Like, it's not huge stats, but he's given consistent pressure. He's been decent in spurts, so I'm fine with that move. Definitely interested to see Dayo get some more run, because we've been talking all year back to the summer. That's a guy who just, all the snaps you can give him, he needs the development. So you hate to see Quiddy not out there, and we don't even know if he's going to be out there or not this week, but if it means more Dayo, I think we can live with it.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say about defensive line before we get to these corners, because I really want to talk about these corners. They're awesome. It'd be really nice if the Colts got their money's worth on a certain pass rusher up front, but on a certain other pass rusher. He's great for the community, but Yannick Ngakoue is just, man, I really want to see more production from him in the passing game. It's just not been there, man. It's not been there. I don't know what it is. But yeah, the Yannick Ngakoue trade has really not worked out for the Colts. But anyway, switching focus, let's talk about these corners. These corners are awesome. These corners are great. I love them. Stephon Gilmore locked down on that final play. I love that play so much because watching it on film, I believe it was a 3x1 set. Stephon Gilmore was backside. The Colts called their standard cover three match, you know, their week three match. And what the Colts do with their week the cover three match is they have Stephon Gilmore or whoever that backside corner is, they're going to be in man coverage in like press man against whoever they're covering. And if you look at that play, the Raiders came out and they were like, you know what? We're putting Adams by himself on the other side and we're going to just throw him a jump ball. That's our game plan. Because it makes sense. I mean, it's your best player. It's easily your best player. I throw him a jump ball backside. And the Colts knew that was coming too. They put Stephon Gilmore over there and it was basically a Manu Imanu, like a best players going at it. And yeah, Stephon Gilmore won. I love it. I just love the confidence on both teams there to say, you know what, we're going to give it up to these best two players and see what happens. And yeah, Stephon Gilmore outside of that Washington game has just been phenomenal at the end of games. And this was just another one where, you know, again, one-on-one backside and that weak cover three call and got that pass breakup.
Yeah. Of the Colts' four wins, he has iced the game in three of them. And I honestly don't even hold that Commanders game against him. It was just a jump ball, 50-50 ball, and Terry McLaurin wrestled it away from him. He was right there. He could have finished it. No biggie. I mean, you're going to win some, lose some, but he's been worth every single cent. I know another guy you're going to want to talk about, Isaiah Rogers. We so talked good. About him a bit on game day, but yeah, this dude's it. He's really good.
He's so good, man. And remember the two things I said all offseason that I really want to see him take steps in. And if he did these two things, he could really become like a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro type corner. I don't think it's going to happen this year because he just doesn't have the interception numbers for it. But the two things were playing stronger through the hands and playing stronger through contact. And the other one was trusting his speed and trusting his speed to overcome basically anything. I think on that Devontae Adams pass breakup he had, which I posted on my Twitter if you guys want to see that, it is just a phenomenal play. You saw him open up to Devontae Adams, let Devontae Adams have the sideline. And even when Adams did a great job of selling a vertical route, Rogers did not, you know, turn and start running with it. He didn't freak out. He didn't go with that because he trusted his speed. He trusted his speed against Devontae Adams, you know, one of the best receivers in football. He trusted his speed to be able to just stay with him. And then he came back on that comeback route and he played through the hands and broke that ball up. And I think that was everything that you wanted to see from Isaiah Rogers. Every time he's been tested this season, he's been phenomenal. He's been targeted 10 times in coverage this year, has two pass breakups. Both the pass breakups came on his only two targets past 10 yards. All the other targets have been under 10 yards against him. He's just been phenomenal for the Colts. And honestly, I was texting his agent the other day. I was like, I really wish that teams would just try to throw some vertical balls on him just because I want to see what happens, because I really don't think they're going to come away with it. I think it's going to be a pick or a pass breakup. Because he's playing that well right now. So, you know, I really hope in these next couple games, teams try to test him a little bit more because he's playing some outstanding football. He is a really, really good young corner, and I only think he's going to get better.
Yeah, testing him vertically from what we've seen in training camp, and I mean, really throughout his career, has not gone well for quarterbacks, because that's I feel like that's when he makes his best plays on the ball. I mean, he gave up a couple last year there, but some of the best plays I've seen him make in practice or on the field on game days, test him vertically, it's going to be an issue, and that's probably why it's not happening very much at all. You would mention, you know, real quick, just before we hop off, you had mentioned the safety play is kind of petering out a little bit. It's just kind of, it's kind of met its level. Is that about right?
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about safeties real quick, and we can probably talk about this more on another, on a future show, is I think Ronnie Thomas has been fine when he's been out there, nothing special. And then Julian Blackman has kind of been a little bit of a tough adjustment for him in this scheme. I do think they're like a really good free safety away from being a top tier defense, you know, and I know they've been a top tier defense statistically this year, but I'm talking about like smug defense. They're a really good free safety away from that. And hopefully Blackman or Ronnie Thomas can take that next step the rest of the season and become that for the Colts. But if not, I think that's the number one need for this defense in the future.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on now that Blackman is kind of seeing the lion's share of the snaps at free safety again, that yep. bears monitoring, because he was a star in the summer. So we'll see if that kind of gets turned around a little bit. That is it for us for today. We'll be back with you on Thursday for a crossover with the dudes from Locked On Eagles. And we'll also have our final dive into this matchup on Friday with another special guest.
Now, make sure you guys are following us on social media at JakeArthurNFL, at ZachTakes2, at Locked On Colts. Also, subscribe to our show on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.